almost 9 years, and I got to tell you, each year it gets harder. The relationships run deep, and it's like, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay. It's not going to be an emotional day, but it absolutely is. But it's a good day. Today, we're going to be in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. This is an amazing group of students. As I look back of some amazing memories that we all have, the vision of our church is to be able to love God, love others, and serve the world. The vision of our youth ministry is the same. Love God, love others, and serve the world. And so we have tried to do that. We still have a long way to go, but through our Wednesday night at Straight X and our life groups and retreats and camps and Super Summer and our trips to Guatemala and serve days that we do each year, Disciple Now. And some examples, some stories. I can't tell all the stories because there are so many. But I remember in Guatemala last spring break, we're going house to house to house. We've got food for each family, and we have trained and equipped our students to share their story. And it's Silas's turn, and it's his turn to be able to share his story. And we're going from house to house, and I kind of step back, and Silas just goes for it. And man, he does an incredible job. And right before our eyes, we saw God grow Silas in those moments. I can remember A.G. in Alden, I don't know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, coming up into the praise band, and they would step up to the microphone and then step back to the microphone. We were like, you got to sing in the microphone. You gotta get closer. So they would get up and they would get to go back. And so it's a learning process. And then to see where God has brought them now is really huge. And then every student absolutely loves Daniel leading any of our games over at Straight X. And the amazing job that he does, he makes us laugh for one thing, but just an incredible personality that God has given him. And everybody loves Daniel, and he has done an incredible job. I can think of who I call Maddie Square, and it's Madison Tarver and Maddie Womack over in Guatemala. Just loving on these kids and seeing that God has did a huge work in their life and a passion for these kids, but so many stories and so many things that we've seen God do, and it has been a blast. Let me tell you what, youth ministry, I know we're wired just a little bit differently, those of us who love teenagers, but it is a blast, and it is a privilege, and it is a pleasure to be able to spend time with students. We watch them laugh a lot, right? We watch them play and struggle with questions and wrestle with the things of this world and life, but we watch them grow as well right before our eyes. And let me tell you this, just as you have already seen today, the team that we have is incredible. They give and they sacrifice and they love God and they love our students. And, you know, I was like, oh no, I've got to baptize. How am I going to get back up here? And, you know, I said, whoa. God was like, whoa, chill out, Chris. You've got a team that can do every bit of that. And I stepped back and you saw they did an incredible job. And they do that week after week after week after week, an amazing job. And so this is an exciting day. This is a hard day. This is a scary day. This is a day full of emotions, right? For the students, because there's about to be some change in your life. But for your parents as well. For the ones who have loved you and cared for you, grandparents, aunts and uncles and family members, man, they have invested in your life and they have put up with a lot, haven't they, right? Through sickness, changing your diapers, hormones, right? The good days and the bad days, right? They're not perfect, but they love you. They absolutely love you. And you don't know this, but I've spent a lot of time on the phone, a lot of time in person with your parents and the people that love you about you. and they care deeply and much for you. So things are about to change. Your schedule is about to change. Your address, for some of you, your physical address is about to change. You're fixing to move. Your friendships are about to change. The people that you have hung out with for years and years and years, there's going to be most of them that you don't see much. If not some, you will never see again. The responsibilities that you have are about to change. And some of you are ready. You're like, bring it on. Can't wait. Graduation, I'm out of here. It's going to be a good day. Let's do this thing. But for others, not so much. I'm telling you, that's kind of where I landed. I was like, I wanted to graduate, but I didn't want to graduate. I was scared to death. And I was like, I think I'll just not go. I think I'll just stay right here. And so, like in June, my dad was like, son, are you going to college? And I was like, yeah, I'm going. So, like, literally, I didn't register for college till like 2 weeks before college started. My parents were like, what's he doing with his life, right? But the bottom line is this. It's here. It's here. In 2008, the Beijing Summer Olympics, there were some big stories. The U.S. had dominated in so many ways. Michael Phelps won like 8 gold medals. I remember watching him. I don't know what time it was, late at night, and I remember watching him in some relay. They made some big comeback, and it was an incredible deal to watch. But another story that maybe that you don't realize or remember was this, was that the men's and women's 4x100 relay, the U.S. had dominated this over and over and over. But this year, both teams did not qualify. Didn't even qualify, did not even place, did not even qualify. And the reason was because they dropped the baton. Right on the exchanges, they dropped it. And the other team's gone. And it was over for them. And so today, what we're going to discuss and talk about is the baton. And passing the baton. Because this is a significant milestone. It absolutely is. You're about to transition from one stage of life to another stage of life. And this marks a really big end to one leg, but a beginning to another. And you're being empowered to be able to become an adult. And I know that transition is a process. It's still going to be for you. But we are here today passing the baton to you, and we're telling you to go for it. Man, to be everything that God has called you to be. I look at the 22 seniors that we have here. Man, you guys are so different. Your personalities, the things that you like, the things that you don't like, that's not a bad thing. God has wired you in a certain way, given you spiritual gifts to be able to use for Him and His glory. So we're looking at 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. And what we see here is we see the elder Paul, and Paul was a guy who hated Jesus, who hated the church and was out on a mission to destroy the church. And then Jesus shows up in his life, and then he becomes a Christian. And so now he is not tearing down the church. He is spending his life building up the church now. And he's going on these journeys, traveling thousands of miles to spread the gospel. And so we have Timothy, the younger Timothy, who is trying to learn and trying to grow. And Paul is investing in Timothy. And so what we see here in this scripture is some relay race lingo. Here, I'm going to read this. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. And so the race talk here is that you have in leg one, you have Paul. And then leg two, you have Timothy. He says, now Timothy, teach these truths to other trustworthy people. Leg three, the trustworthy people. And then he says to be able to pass them on to others. Leg four. And I got to thinking about this. And I know the story that Brennan has. Brennan's story is that his father led him to Christ. And then to see Wednesday night, to be able to step back and see what was going down Wednesday night as Brennan shared Christ with Peyton. And that night he accepted Christ. And that night everything changed for Peyton Cook. And so now the charge is for Peyton is to be able to take this gospel that you have and to be able to share that with other people. But I love the picture that's created here. It's just the heartbeat of our youth ministry that we want to move students from religion or no religion at all to a relationship with Jesus. That they in turn will share that with other people who in turn will share that with other people. That is spiritual reproduction. But over the years, we've seen some bad handoffs. Man, over the years, I've been doing youth ministry for over 20 years, and I've seen students, man, that we thought would go and do, but there was a problem somewhere. That transition went bad. And to see what happened. So what we want to talk about is to pass that baton to you and to make sure that you can transition well. And so the idea of passing the baton is not just for students. Once I say this almost every year, that this is not just for students. This is for the body of Christ, and you're about to see why. That this is for parents who have children. This is for grandparents who have grandchildren. This is for life group leaders with students that they invest in week in and week out. This is for the children's volunteer who gives up an hour of their week and invest, and they're thinking, am I really making a difference? I want you to know real quick, yes, you are making a difference each week. This is for bosses who have employees. What an incredible opportunity as a boss that you have with your employees to make a difference and invest in their lives. And this is for the blessed teacher out there who week, day after day after day, you invest and you are the example. And you think sometimes, am I really making a difference, God? Once again, you absolutely are. So this is for the body of Christ today. So how do we make sure that 2 Timothy is a working part of our lives? Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at the United States Track and Field Rule Book. Now, I bet you that's one book that you didn't think, today, I can't wait, Chris is going to open the rule book. No, you didn't think about that. We're going to look at this rule book, but it's going to share with us some specific things that we can look at this verse in 2 Timothy and go, oh, I see that. I see. We're going to look at Rule 25. Rule 25. I didn't even know they had like a rule book. I'm sure that, you know, that they did, but I was like, I don't know what's in the rule book, but here it is. The baton. So Rule 25 is about the baton. The baton shall be a smooth, hollow, circular tube made of wood, metal, or other rigid material in one piece. Its length shall be between 28 and 30 centimeters. Its circumference shall be 12 to 13 centimeters, and it shall weigh not less than 50 grams. No material or substance may be applied to the baton. A lot of legal stuff that I'm slow. It takes me a while. But here's the thought. The thought is this, church, is that we must be passing the right baton. What is the church's baton that we're trying to pass on? And it's the gospel. It is the good news. What is the good news? The good news is this, is that you and I, we are in trouble. And we are in trouble because of the sin that you commit, the sin that I commit. Scripture says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and for the wages of sin is death. So with one sin, I have earned hell. I have earned separation from God. With one sin, you have earned death and separation. That's what you deserve, and that's what I deserve. So I've got a problem. I can't get to God. Because my sin has separated me from God. God is holy and God is pure, and I sure am not. And we are not. But that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That God, in his compassion and his great love for you and for me, sacrificed Jesus Christ for us, his greatest possession. Jesus, his Son, on this earth, lived a perfect life. He knew no sin, so that he could pay the penalty for us. And Jesus died on this cross, and he paid the cost that I deserve to pay, that you deserve to pay. And Jesus was buried. In 3 days, Jesus rose again, and he ascended into heaven. And for those who understand their sin nature and the fact that their sin separates them from God, and they believe on Jesus, they know that Jesus came, they know that Jesus died on the cross, they believe on him and give their life to him, they will be saved. So now, Peyton Cook, the reality of Peyton is, man, this is incredible, Peyton, is that when you die, and here's the other thing, we're all going to die. It is not maybe, you know, it's going to happen. And we don't know when that's going to be. It can be this afternoon, or it can be 60 years from now, or even longer. The thing about it is, now when Peyton dies, he's going to be with God forever. But the bottom line is this. That's a good thing. Peyton is going to heaven. Peyton will be with God. But you know what? God has a life for Peyton to live, an abundant life for Peyton to live right now. And we discussed that Wednesday night. Man, there's opportunities to grow now. There's opportunities to be in his word. And so we're going through a process to help him grow and to become like him. But that's the good news. And that's the baton that our heart, that we are trying to pass on. But with the investing in other people, we can focus on good things, but not the right things. Some examples of this would be being good. Like parents, you want your kids to act right. They have told me, now look, if my son don't act right, you get your belt off and you spank. I'm like, okay, he's going to be all right. I ain't spanking your boy, okay? But that's happened a lot. Now look now, you take him around, it's okay. No, we're not going to do that. But good behavior, that is something good to strive for. But sometimes that can be the baton. That can be the thing that we're trying to instill in our children. Hey, be good. When I was a student, I was just trying to be good. I wanted everybody to look at Chris Johns and say, Chris Johns is such a good, great kid. There's nothing about Jesus. It was all about me. Another thing is grades. And grades are important. Let me just back up and say. But sometimes that can consume us. Sometimes that can become the idol that we have. We got to get the GPA. We got to get the right ACT score. We got to get in the school. We got to get this and that. And that can consume us and become our focus at times, to where we're not concerned about spiritual things sometimes. And that can take over our lives. Athletics, it's huge, right? I mean, you got to make the team so that you can get the scholarship, so that you can do this or that. And so we instill in our kids, be the athlete that you need to be. Get on the team, the travel team, the this and the that. Once again, those things are not bad. But when those things take over, and sometimes we have to be honest, we got to be honest about that. What's really going on in my heart, God? What's really going on in my life? And examine our hearts and our lives about what's really important to us. So we get so focused on the good things that a lot of times we lose sight on the God things. And it's so easy to do. But the most important thing is the gospel. Is the gospel that is in us. The life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ dying. And us believing in him. And God's Spirit living in us. And us becoming like Christ. And then us helping others become like Christ. Because we face a lot of things in this world. We do. There are days in my life I'm like, man, Chris, what are you doing? I got to tell you, this is just the truth. is that every December for me, I love to hunt, and I kind of get zoned in on that and focused. And God's like, it's not all about deer hunting. And then turkey season, oh, that's even worse for me. When that rolls around, man, I am just zoned in. Where's that turkey? Is he in the field? I don't know. What's going on there? And I can get zoned in where God's like, dude, chill out. It is not all about you and a turkey. It's about me. It's still about me. But we chase a lot of things in this world. Money. And pleasure. And comfort. Because this world looks really good. This world feels good. Tastes good. And that's just how Satan wants that for us. But as parents and grandparents and leaders, we are to pass the gospel. That is the priority. And listen, I'm not just preaching at you. This sermon is right at Chris John's. Because, man, I examine my heart and where I fail every day with my own family. Absolutely huge. Rule number two is this. Each takeover zone shall be 20 meters long, which the scratch line, I didn't even know there was a scratch line, okay? Which the scratch line is the center. The zone shall start and finish at the edges of the zone lines nearest the start line in the running direction. What? What is that? Here's thought number two, and this is huge. The space to pass the baton is limited. The space to pass the baton is limited. This is what they're trying to say, okay? That the lines in each lane have a takeover zone. And this is the spot where the incoming runner, right, is running, and there's a certain length that they step into the zone that they can pass the baton to the other runner. And that space is limited. They just can't go around the thing. Here you go, catch it. They don't just go around the track. No, there's a certain spot where they can hand that off. They can take it and then go and run. And if they go outside of that, disqualified. So here's the deal. And parents and grandparents, and so many of us, we know this. But they grow up fast, don't they? I mean, they grow up fast. Because there's a day coming. There's a day coming where they're heading out on their own. There's a guy named Reggie Joyner, who we've done a lot of training with our life groups. And he says, hey, the moment that they're born, they're packing their bags. They're going out. They're getting ready to go. It's our responsibility to prepare them and to equip them to be able to do that. So make the most of the time that you have. Make the most of the time that you have. With conversations. With equipping. And make the sacrifices. I'm not talking about so that they can have more stuff. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about make the sacrifices to be there. Make the sacrifices to have the conversations. Because the challenge is this. There may be nothing more spiritually valuable to your kids' lives than your presence while they are present. Because there's a window of time. There's a window of time. And boy, senior parents, you're feeling it because it's here. But there's a window of time where you have the most time and opportunity to influence and impact your kids. Because isn't it true that they start to stop listening to you? They start to stop listening to you and valuing what you have to say. I've got a 7-year-old who thinks that I am the greatest man on earth right now, okay? Hayden is like, he's not like any of my other kids. My other kids would be like out in public, they'd just be like, you know, quiet, and he's just like, hello world, what's up? And he's in break, you know, talking to everybody and loving on everybody. And but Hayden Johns, over. Like, I know my kids love me, but they know what I'm talking about. This kid loves his dad. And over, even last night, getting him ready for bed, and he's just like, Daddy, I love you. And he's just kissing on me, and I'm just like, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Yes. Man, as a dad, that's really awesome, right? To hear that from your kids. But there's going to be a day when he's not going to think I'm so cool and that I'm not so great. And this is why we love life group. This is why we encourage students and parents to get their children in life group, because there's a day, usually in your teenage years, when mom and dad are not so great and they start listening to other people. And a lot of times it's their friends. A lot of times it's people at school. But at the end of the day, if they have somebody, an adult in their life, that loves God and loves them, what a difference that can make. Caleb doesn't think that I'm the greatest person on earth anymore. But it's okay. But this is what I know each week. What I know is that Mike is investing in his life. And he's texting. He's calling him about questions in life. And that, man, that's awesome. That is a good thing when that happens. And we see students. Did you not see these students walk up here and hug on these leaders? Man, they love these leaders. And these leaders love them. And it is an incredible thing to be a part of whenever it is that Christ centered love of no matter what you do, man, I'm going to love you still, and I'm here for you. And we see that all the time, that these students go to their life group leaders, and that's awesome. Man, they don't have to come to me. Man, that is fine. If they go to their life group leader, that's what we want, is for them to be encouraged and challenged and prayed for by their life group leader. So this is only a season. It's only a season. It can feel like it's going to last forever. Listen, in 2005, I had four children that were six and under. And we changed diapers for 10 years. Straight. Nonstop. One would be like, we got another. We're like, oh, we still got this one. We still got this one. We'd be so excited, and then it'd be like, okay, here we go again, you know? But then, man, it can feel like I'm telling you, those 10 years were like, oh my goodness, hang on. This is too much. This is going to last forever. But it didn't. I got one who's about to get married, got one just about to graduate. And they're growing up. And they grow up fast. They're packing their bags. It's only a season. This is why in Ephesians 5, Paul says to make the most of every opportunity that you have. And boy, what an opportunity do we have in our children and in our students. There's a limited space to pass the baton. Rule number 12. This is a long one. You thought the other one was bad. Listen to this one. The baton shall be carried by hand throughout the race. If dropped, it shall be recovered by the athlete who dropped it. He or she may leave the assigned lane to retrieve the baton, provided no other runner is impeded, and provided that by doing so, the distance to be covered is not lessened. So thought number three is this, is that a dropped baton is not the end of the race. It's not over. As long as the one who dropped the baton picks it back up, the runner doesn't obstruct the race of the other runners, and they don't cut the distance of the race short as they grab the baton. Are you confused yet? So am I. Here's what the stats are, and we talk about this probably every year, is that there's a lot of different stats, but they land probably on the average of 70% of graduates leave the church and the faith during their college years, that age 18, 22 through 24. 70% leave the church in their faith. So there's two things that's happening here. Students are dropping the baton after graduation, or something's going wrong with the baton pass. And it's easy to have the blame game, right? Oh, it's the youth group's fault. All they do is eat pizza and play games. It's the parents' fault. They're not spiritual leaders in their lives. It's the church's fault. They're really not investing in them, right? But get the mental picture here. There's a dropped baton. It's dropped. And there's a group of people who are looking at a dropped baton. And they're discussing how the baton, well, I don't know. I think it's that youth pastor because them flip-flops he wears all the time. I don't know, you know. I don't know. That's not a good influence on my kids. It's like November, you know. What's up with that? So they're like discussing how that was dropped. They're all looking at it while the race continues. And so I think the key is responsibility. Of what if we stop talking about a dropped baton and we start walking towards the baton and picked it up and did whatever we could on our part to pick it up and did what God has called us to do, not what we want to do, but as we walk with the Heavenly Father and He speaks to us specifically, we act in obedience because we love Him, because of the gospel, and we do exactly what He calls us to do. And sometimes that will stretch you, that will scare you, it will make you uncomfortable. I tell our students all the time, hey, we're about to go serve. You know what? You're probably about to be uncomfortable. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because in that being uncomfortable is where God's going to grow you today. So when you feel that, it's not a bad thing. It's okay. We're here with you. So every one of us, parents and grandparents and coaches and teachers and life group leaders, the body of Christ, for us to be able to do our part, to examine our hearts. And there's some ways that we've been trying to do a better job. And once again, we have got a long way to go. We're not there yet. But one of the steps that we have made is Terry Donham is the life group leader for our college ministry. And we've been trying to talk about ways that we can transition our students over to that ministry. And so on purpose, Terry has done Serve Day with us. She's been there to serve with us. We took a senior trip where we went to an escape room and we went out to eat, and we were doing all that with our life group leaders. Terry was there to transition, and she was able to share her heart so that whenever they get ready to leave, it's not like, what do we do now? Well, Terry knows them, and they know Terry, and that transition is about to happen, and we're trying to make that as smooth as possible. And another thing that we did this year was we did something called Next Level, where Mike Robinson took the senior students, and they had 3 weeks during small group of being able to sit down and say, hey, you're fixing the transition. Have you thought about this? What's it going to look like when this? And to be able to walk through the process of what's about to happen to make sure that they have a plan for in their life whenever they leave, whatever that plan is. And so we have to do life on purpose. Our relationships have got to be on purpose. Parent to child, boss to employee, grandparent to grandchild, coach to player, neighbor to neighbor, coworker to coworker. That this is the deal. God has placed you there, wherever there is for you. And here's the deal. With this church, we are all over the map. But wherever you are there on purpose. You are not there on accident. And you may be there, wherever you're there is, you may be thinking, God, I want you to change my there right now. Right? I want to do something else. I want to go somewhere else. But you are there on purpose to pass the baton of the gospel to make the most of the opportunity. Wherever you go in the next 6 months, whether that's the workforce, the military, or you're about to go to college, you are there on purpose as the light of Christ to pass the baton, to make disciples who make disciples. So make the most of that opportunity. See, there was a day when I saw people, I saw them as obstacles. Right? You don't like me, I don't like you, back off and I'll be okay and you'll be all right too. And that's how I lived my life some. But as I began to read the scripture, God blew me away. That I was to love like him. Those people that I didn't love, guess what? He loved them. So I was to be Christ-like. So I was to imitate God. So I had to love them. I did not want to love them, but I saw the love that God had for me. And God said, no. You're fixing to change that. I want to change that about you. Go and love them and invest in them and care about them. And so for some in this room today, you don't even have the baton. Honestly, if you were to die today, you don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know. There is no relationship with Jesus. Because here's the other thing, is you can't get to God. There is nothing that you can do. You can't be at church enough. You can't be good enough. You can't give enough money to get to God. But the good news is, the compassion that God has had on us through His Son Jesus, it is through Jesus alone. This is why we make Jesus a big deal. Because Jesus is a big deal. He is the only way to get to God, period. Period. And that's the good news. Man, if you know that you've got sin in your life and that you're separated from Him and you've seen the goodness of your God and sending Jesus to die to pay that penalty and that you believe on Jesus and you call out to Him, then you can have the baton. You can have a relationship with God, the gospel, so that when you die, you will be with Him. And, by the way, there is some abundant life to be lived on this earth. Man, living for Jesus is hard sometimes, but the joy that we have, the contentment that we have, the hope that we have is incredible. And it is nothing compared to this world. This God is incredible. This world is nothing compared to God. But maybe you've received the baton, and maybe you've dropped it. Maybe you've turned your back on God and the world. Maybe you're caught up in your selfish desires and what you want. And maybe it's been a slow drop, apathy, distraction. Listen, man, with children and work and this and that, there's so many distractions to where we can just get slowly fade away from God. I challenge you to confess that to God, to pick the baton back up and to get back in the race. Because this is what we have in Jesus. We have grace, we have mercy, we have forgiveness that we don't deserve through Jesus. And you may not feel like you can. Let me say this real quick. It is not about the way that you feel. It is not about the way that you feel. There are days in my life I'm like, God, I'm not feeling it today. But He reminds me, you are still my child. And you have value, not because of you, Chris, but because of my Son, Jesus, in the end. Or maybe you're carrying the baton over into the takeover lane. And anyone who has a Timothy in their life, parent to teenager, life group leader, boss, coworker, teacher, maybe you've been a Christian for years, but you've never really thought about investing in somebody else. The question is this, who are you going to help pass the baton to? And how do you plan to do it? Because here's the thing. It is your responsibility. It is not just the pastor's and the staff's responsibility. This is your responsibility as a believer. Chris, I don't want that responsibility. I'm sorry, it's yours. Great Commission. Matthew 28, go and make disciples. That is the call to every believer. And how do you plan to do it? Listen, it doesn't have to be up on stage. You don't have to play guitar or speak or preach. I think about some people like Linda and Carl and Brad and Silas and Robbie and Kate. A lot of times you don't see them. A lot of you are like, I don't even know who you're talking about. It's these guys up in this booth here, who they are helping pass the baton week by week by week by week through sound and technology. That's their spiritual gift. That's how they're wired. No pun intended. That's pretty good. Thank you. There's more where that comes from, right? But then I see people at times like Pat and Gene Edwards and Lisa and Greg Welch in the back, who we were taking so great care of in the back to be baptized. Man, they got the mop, they got the towels, they got everything for us. We don't have to worry about anything. We just have to hey, here we are. And they took care of us. That's helping to pass the baton. And so you have spiritual gifts in your life. Students, you have spiritual gifts in your life. Man, make the most of that. Go for that. Pass the baton. Pass the baton. And there's so many ways to help. Man, if you want to help in the children's ministry, to invest in precious children, talk to Tommy. With students, you can speak to me. With our college students, Terry Donovan, any other area of this church, come and talk to us. Because there's so many ways to serve, so many ways to pass the baton, so many ways that you can make disciples who make disciples. So seniors, that's our charge to you, is to make disciples who make disciples, no matter where you are, no matter what you do in your life. And this is such the cool part. As I look at the group, the 22, it's not just going to be a Washington County impact. It's not just going to be a Mississippi thing or a United States thing. This crew here is going all over the world, I'm telling you. They are. They are going to have a global impact with these 22. I want you to know, it's been a privilege. It's been amazing. We love you. And wherever you find yourself, stay in the Word. You hear that from us week in and week out. Stay in the Word. Wherever you are in life, be in God's church with the body of Christ to encourage and be encouraged. Remember what you have in Christ. And remember that no matter what you go through, because let me say this, is that some of you already have. But there are going to be some dark days, some very dark days in your life where you're going to be thinking, God, where in the world are you? But to know and remember, He is with you. He is with you. So with the invitation today, the band's not going to play. There's going to be just some music playing. And it's an opportunity for us, maybe as parents, to grab our kids and say, hey, I want to pray with you. Maybe grandparents, to grab some students. But the other thing is, it's not just with these students. Maybe God's calling you to walk across the room and encourage somebody and speak a word of truth and encouragement to them. To just say, hey, I want you to know I appreciate you. I want you to know that I care about you. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that God's used you in my life. But for the body to encourage the body, to invest in each other, to invest in these students, because we got to pass the baton spiritually and in prayer. Some of us in this room, man, we're struggling with our walk right now. Life's crazy. And you just feel like, man, I'm trying to walk with God, but there's so much stuff going on in my life. It's hard. Confess that. 1 John, man, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have forgiveness because of Jesus. So get back up, confess it, get back up, and go for it. So with our prayer today, Eddie's going to be here. I'm going to grab my boy. I'm going to pray for him, right? But to seek the Lord, and in asking for courage, and for strength, and encouragement. Don't we need encouragement today, church? Man, I know I do in my life. Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you so much. God, we have so much because of you. It's not in anything that we do or anything that we have or that we were born in America. God, it is all about you and your Son, Jesus. So thank you for these precious students, God, that you have given us. Thank you for the times that we have had together. And I pray, God, that they will bless this world God, they'll just be a bright light, not only the next 5 years, but for the rest of their lives. They'll continue to grow in you and walk with you until the day that they die, that their passion and their heart will be to make disciples who make disciples. So God, I just pray right now for us as the body of Christ. God, you're speaking to us in so many ways right now. So God, I just pray for freedom in this church, God, for us to be able to invest and pray and speak words of encouragement and to love each other and to seek your face for courage and for strength and encouragement. God, you are our everything. And I pray right now, God, that we'll call out to you. In your name I pray. Amen. You guys can stand.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need.